I said, my wife's a little tired. We got in last night, got home at 12:30. Thursday afternoon, we flew to Florida. And this woman of God who passed away, she was our mentor. We traveled with her and her husband for over 25 years to the nations of the world. Glennis Dorner, everybody called her Mama throughout the world. She was an awesome, awesome teacher of the Word. She had insight into the Word. She operated in the gift of prophecy as well, and has touched many, many lives throughout the nations of the world. And so we were honored to go there and be a part of her celebration of life, because that's what it was. And people from all over the United States and some of the nations came to be a part of that. I think it's been 3 Sundays that we have not been here until today, but we were in Louisville, Kentucky, had awesome meetings there, and then the next weekend we went to Atlanta, and Walter's father showed us a great time along with our family, and we spoke in Spanish, Latino-speaking churches in North Atlanta, and they received us with open arms. They're hungry for the gospel. They said there's about 40,000 Latinos living in Northern Atlanta, and the church has not reached very many of them yet. And then last week we were able to go way up north to Superior, across from Duluth, and minister in a small church. But the power of God was there. Tonight, as we were worshiping, the Lord gave me these words. He said, when you look out the Caesar Ruff, when you look on the road, they're windy and they're full of obstacles. But he said, don't lose heart, because I am the one that calms the sea. And he says, I am the one that has created the path in the beginning. And when I, the Lord, look upon you, I see nothing impossible. And that was a word for you tonight. When the Lord looks upon us, he sees nothing impossible in our lives. We look at things and say, wow, how can this ever change? How will anything good come out of this? But God looks beyond the things that we can see in the natural, and he takes us to the place that he wants us to be. Thank you, Pastor, and the leaders here for allowing us to minister the word. As you're talking about Walter from, what was it, 94, my wife went to Argentina for the first time, and there was this young man there, and she felt drawn to this young man and began to prophesy to him and said he needed to come to the United States of America, and his name was Walter Garcia. And about 6 months, a little over 6 months later, he came to the United States, came to our home, spent a year in our home, and just awesome miracles. Ended up in Spain and found this crazy woman and married her, and you know, all these things. But God had his hand on him and does have his hand on him, and the Lord says to not lose heart in the things that look impossible. But look at the long plan that he has established for you and your family. To look beyond what looks impossible. He's telling me to retell you that again, because he is the creator. And what is needed in your lives, he can create even now, this moment, for the day tomorrow. The Lord says, look up. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, exciting to go to Argentina, because the fire of God is there. There's revival in Argentina, even though it's depressing because of the nation, their financial problems. In 2000, they were 1-to-1 with the U.S. dollar. In less than 20 years, they've gone from $1 to 60. And why? Because of corrupt leadership in the government. I think Brother Ross sent me a thing that showed how Argentina in one decade went from being a prosperous nation to a nation that is almost falling apart because they turned their back in 10 years. And we're seeing Argentina had great revivals in the 70s. In Mar del Plata, where Walter's from, Anaconda had meetings in big stadiums, 60, 80,000 people for 6 months. Thousands and thousands of people came to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. Churches had meetings 3 times a day, 7 days a week. There's maybe 1 or 2 churches still does that, but they had meetings every day of the week, and they had 2 different sets of worship teams and 2 different pastors that had to be there, and it just kept flowing. People would work at night and they'd come to the church after work. People would work in the daytime, they'd come to church, and the meetings went on and on, and there's a great revival fire there. But you know, depression and finances and all these other hardships, there's a lot of drugs, a lot of problems there. You know, people turn away from the Lord, and you know what happens. We're seeing it here in America. But everything is being fulfilled according to the word that God has spoken in here. I don't want you guys to take your eyes off of this word. As you read it, prophecy is being fulfilled almost every day. Hallelujah. You say, is that good? I'll. If it's true, it's good, because this is what has to happen for the Lord to get his glory. Amen. We don't want to see it, and hopefully we get taken out before we see the worst. That's what we're believing. Amen. Let's say, if you guys want to stay here, that's okay, but I'm planning on going first. Hallelujah. Praise God. The promises of God are for all of us tonight. Some of us have been hanging on to some promises given, and we haven't seen, you know, the fullness of it yet. But just we just had testimony of just last Sunday in our meetings up in northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, that some of the words that the Lord gave have already come to pass. And so God is faithful. I believe that he's moving rapidly on your behalf, on our behalf as believers, to allow our faith to be above our situations. Shall I repeat that? To allow our faith to be above our situation. And when we look at our situation, a lot of times our faith is pretty small. So we need the Lord to speak to us through his word to bring us to a place of believing and acting. I could have talked about, and I ministered this in Louisville, and Nancy and Ross were with us, but the message was, what do you have and what do you need? I'm not going to preach that tonight, but think about it. We go to a place in our life, and Lord, if I had more, I could do all this for you. The widow woman, her husband was part of the team in 2 Kings chapter 5. Elisha comes to the widow woman, and her husband has died. He was part of the church or part of a prophet team, and he died and left her with a lot of debt. And now her creditors were coming to take her sons, split up her family, make them slaves until her debt was paid. And she began to cry out to God, and God heard her. And Elisha comes to her, into her home. And he says, what do you have? She said, nothing. Now listen, this is the story. Read it. She said, nothing. And then, I got this jar of oil back here. He said, bring the jar of oil. What is it that you have that lies dormant, that if you would bring it to the Lord and allow him to bless it, that it would multiply and meet every need that you have in your life? That's food for thought. Another message that I'm not going to preach. Is it okay, brother? Between the setting and the rising of the sun, in Luke 4, it says, when the sun was setting, all of those people who had diseases and sick, and they brought them to Jesus, and he laid hands on them and delivered every one of them. Demons were manifested. Verse 42, it says, now when it was day, he departed. The miracle work of Jesus never takes a night off. We were singing about that tonight. Hallelujah. Even when you don't realize what's going on in your life, the Lord is moving. Hallelujah. Are you happy, glad, and excited that we serve a God who doesn't sleep and doesn't slumber, but he's alive and well, interceding for you and the needs that you have in your family, interceding for the things that he wants you still to do and to walk into. So the message really tonight that the Lord has directed me to preach, and Steve and Connie, you can put your fingers in your ears, because I ministered on this Sunday night in up north, in Lake Superior. But it's time to cross over. And we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. And then we want to read a verse, starting with verse 1. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourselves, cities great and fortified up to heaven. We jump to verse 5. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. Therefore understand, verse 6, that the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to possess it because of your righteousness, for you are a stiff-necked people. And we'll go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. It says, now Moses, my servant, is dead. Talking to Joshua. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, all this people, into the land which I do give them, and even to the children of Israel. Father, we thank you for your word. It always brings life to us, hope to us, moves us through impossible situations in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you speak to us through your word today. And tonight, Lord, we are not believing that it's going to be any exception, that you will minister us, to our spirit, to our needs, and to our hopes through this word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see here two different times that the Lord says, go possess the land. One was through Moses, and now it's 40 years later. Moses has died. Joshua and all the people are mourning the death of Moses. And it says, if you back up in Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy, that they mourned for him for 30 days. But the Lord is saying, Joshua, up, 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 time to stop mourning. It's time to act. Time to do something. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I give you a commandment? Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. See, God is asking us as the believers to act upon his word. We've heard the word. Pastor teaches us the word. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning. All of my life I've heard the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for Christian parents who took me to church, taught me his ways. But I've heard God's word. What are we doing with the word? Are we staying? Are we staying where we were? Are we growing? Are we going? Hallelujah. I like that, growing, going. Hallelujah. But it seems like the Jordan was a dividing line between the wilderness and the land of plenty, just as the Red Sea was a dividing line between slavery and freedom. And now he's telling Joshua, just as he told Moses, arise, take these people, cross over the Jordan. Maybe the Jordan is in our lives is like the difference between darkness and light, or the difference between a curse and a blessing. Because of their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, God was giving them this land. Not because they were so holy that they had done everything right, that they smelled so good and looked so good and dressed nice. It was because of a covenant that God made with his people, with the forefathers who were obedient to him. Tonight we receive the blessing of God because there was a man that came. His name was Jesus. He hung on the cross. He was obedient to death. And because of that, we get to inherit the land. Hallelujah. We get to possess the good things of God because there was one who obeyed. Sorry if I'm excited. But we see God's love, we see his covenant promise, we see grace, all of these things in action, even warning, even judgment before the wilderness when they were in bondage. We see God's law. all of these things. See, God knew that the foreign land had lots of blessing, lots of plenty, but he also knew there were a lot of temptations. So he sets up a guideline to protect the people. Hallelujah. See, 70 went into bondage. Deuteronomy 10:22, read it for yourself. A multitude came out. There were 70 that went into bondage into Pharaoh, became slaves under Pharaoh. But it says a multitude came out. How many is a multitude? We don't even know how many. There were thousands and thousands and thousands. As a chosen people of God, listen to me, they had no clue how to live for God, except that the only thing they knew about God was what was handed down traditionally from their forefathers. And I don't know about you, but I've heard it. Well, I don't like that tradition thing of going to church every Sunday. I don't like that tradition of doing this and that. But God has placed those things in our life for a guideline so that we can find him and walk with him. I don't like some of the tradition. No, I was raised in a very traditional church. You can't do this and you can't do that. You have to wear your clothes this way. You have to wear your clothes that way. You cannot do this and you cannot do that. I've heard that all of my life, and it was tradition, but it was bondage. But this is not bondage. This is the things of God that were passed down. They were slaves. They didn't understand the love of God, except what they heard from men and women who didn't deny the Lord Jesus. Today we live in a world, and many people do not know about the love of God except what they hear from people who are faithful to the call of God, those who walk in the truth of the word. So now here God was speaking to Moses, giving Moses the law, the commandments to give the people some stability in their lives, some type of direction that they could follow, because, see, they didn't know what to do. They worked for food, lodging. They worked hard. They were slaves. They didn't get very much. They worked more than they got pay, right? This is what the devil does to us when he wants to keep us in bondage. Socialism, a ruler in control of everything, an evil one. But God wanted them free, and he wants us free tonight. We cannot accept socialism in this nation. I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about your freedom tonight. We must stand up and call upon God and say, Lord, we want to stay free. But God began to show himself real even as they were slaves. Even in bondage, God began to show himself real, just as he does to us when we're lost and don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He comes to us many times and begins to show himself real. Here, through signs and wonders and miracles, through the plagues, they'd seen them all. The locusts, the bloody water, the frogs, the death of the firstborn. But they also, as slaves, saw the parting of the Red Sea and the miracle of the manna, the miracle of the water, the quails, and realizing their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't, feet didn't swell. They saw the cloud by day, the fire by night. They were in the presence of God. Hallelujah. He made himself real to them. He showed himself real to them. Why? Here's the key. Because God was preparing them, preparing their hearts for the very best. And what is he doing to us today? What is he doing for us today? Is he making himself real to you and me so that we can have the very best, that we can live in the blessings of God? He had reserved this land just for them. And all he was asking from them, obedience and loyalty. They were being discipled in the wilderness. Sometimes that's the hardest part of our life, being discipled. But it's needed. They needed it, but it's needed for us so that we can live for the Lord. Hallelujah. So we can experience the best that God has for us. So what is he showing us today, and what is he asking from us today? He said, cross over. Joshua, take these people, cross over. If you can't cross over, tonight I believe that the Lord showed me very strongly that we cannot enter into the blessings of God unless we approach the cross first. The cross was used as a tool of execution. We will never be able to experience the greatness of God until we come to the cross and allow the sin in our life to be executed, right? Unless we crucify the old life, the sinful life, and be raised up with a new heart and a new attitude, we can't experience the very best of God. We're still slaves to sin. What does 2 Corinthians 5:17 say? We know it. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the cross is a place of death for our life. The cross is a place where we start fresh. The cross is a turning point in our lives. And when we accept the sacrifice that Jesus made on that cross, then we can go on with the new things that God has for us. Hallelujah. The old likes to hang on, and we're not totally free when we give our life to the Lord, because we don't become perfect overnight. We don't become saints overnight because we prayed a prayer. There's still things going on. We still have habits, evil practices, words we say, things we do. We're still sinners saved by grace. Amen? You're quiet. Thank you for the word. But God, now when we come to Him, we get a new nature. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. We take on God's nature now. This is so important for you tonight. If you're here and you've never taken on God's nature, then it needs to change tonight. Somebody said we used to dance with the devil, now we're dancing with Jesus. Amen. We've got a new partner that we dance, but we're still sinners saved by grace. And so there's things, we call it sanctification, a process of sanctification, where God comes into our life and cleanses and takes those things out that we don't need. Things that have, you know, literally killing us or literally stopping us. So Christ was executed. It's a tough word. It's a hard word. But he was executed so we could have life. And he says to us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 38, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. Jesus is saying, unless you're willing to give it all, you're not worthy of being mine. We want to hang on to some of those old things, you know. Well, Lord, I'll serve you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'll try not to say those bad words or think those bad thoughts, but, you know, this area, I kind of like this freedom I have. We still have total freedom in Jesus. That's a devil lying to you, because we have total freedom in Jesus. Hallelujah. He has come and he set to free where the Spirit of the Lord is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Tonight in this place, we have freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place to allow us to be free in the Holy Spirit, to cross over into the promises of God. And I'm sticking with my notes for a little while here, and then after the Holy Spirit moves, I'll move out. But we have to be able to hear God. Joshua heard the word of the Lord. He said, get up! Arise! I think maybe if there was a poker at that place, he might have felt God poking him a little bit. I don't know. But he heard God's word. He heard the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. God awakens Joshua's dream. The word of God awakens the dreams that we have within us. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way. But we have dreams and visions of what God wants to do. And the word of God comes to us and it awakens those dreams so that we can fulfill the call that's on our lives. Hallelujah. Joshua is one of the spies. He saw, he believed, he waited. Now it's a reality. We do that in this life, Pastor. We hear, we believe, but no, nothing changes. But all of a sudden, it becomes a reality in our life. The Lord says that bundle with a blue ribbon is not the thing that brings joy to you and your wife. I don't know why I'm saying this, but the Lord says those people out there on the streets that you're going to be walking on that hear the word of God and awaken, that's going to bring the joy in your life. That's going to bring fulfillment in a new way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But Joshua still has a choice. Even though he felt the word of God, he felt maybe the poke of the Holy Spirit in his life, he still had a choice. The people had a choice in Deuteronomy 9, but here it is 40 years later. 40 years and they haven't crossed that Jordan. So he has a choice, obey God's voice or just keep mourning. Oh, Moses, you were such a great leader and I miss you so much and I don't know what I'm going to do now. You know, sometimes we are that way. And if you read verses 1, or we could say 2 through 9, God is giving Joshua instructions of how he's going to accomplish what he needs to accomplish. What did he do? What did Joshua do? We know the story. Verse 11, he talks to his leaders. He said, go throughout the camp and tell the people to prepare provision for themselves because in 3 days we are going to cross the Jordan. Hallelujah. He had a choice. Believe or stay land. We have a choice tonight. When we hear the word of God, do we just say, well, thank you, God, for giving me that word, and nothing changes in our life? We don't move. We don't act. But here, he heard the voice of God, and he began to act. Hallelujah. When we know that God has spoken, and this sometimes almost seems like a theology maybe that's wrong, but it's not in this story. But they went before the Ark of the Covenant, and they crossed the Jordan. The priest went to the edge of the water. The water split. But the priest stayed there. And the people crossed before him because they knew that they knew that they knew they heard the voice of God through the man of God, through Joshua had spoken. See, when we know that God has spoken, we can go before the Lord because he allows us to move in that direction. Are you hearing me tonight? Sometimes, well, if God had just led me down this path, I'd go to Argentina. You know, if I could see God going before me, I'd go there. No, God has spoken. You go to Argentina. I'm going to work miracles through you. I'm going to give words to people that's going to change their lives. I'm going to, oh, hallelujah. He's going to cause a nation to arise that believe and have faith. See, and he's going to use us to speak life into those people who are hurt today, who not sure where their next meal is coming from. But see, we heard the word of God. You sure it was God? Yeah, I'm sure it was God. Joshua says, was that you, God? Oh, yeah. It was God. Because I've been dreaming about going to the promised land ever since I went as a spy and searched out the land. But I had to lay that dream down for a season. Hallelujah. How about 40 years? And now God speaks and says, hey, arise, cross the Jordan. And that dream awakens in his spirit. Something exciting begins to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you like it when God speaks to you and something exciting begins to happen? Your spirit has been laying dormant and you're sad, you don't know what to do next, and all of a sudden there's a fire that's burning. Hallelujah. You guys are really quiet. But God worked a miracle for the people that day. After 3 days. You see, when we act upon God's word, there's miracles waiting for us. When we act upon the word of God, there's nothing impossible. And if you read the story, it tells us that it was harvest time. Joshua chapter 1, verse 14. Read it for yourself. I didn't put it up there. But it was harvest time. And it says that every harvest time, the Jordan overflowed. There was the flood. But at the harvest time, God said, move. You see, when it's harvest time, we can't let the waters that are overflowing, the things that are impossible, to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. When we hear the word, we have to act upon that word. Oh, you're quiet. Amen. Glory to God. Ouch. But it's harvest time. And when it's harvest time, we can go before God. Hallelujah. Because he divides the water and makes a way for us where there is no way. And the priests, when their toes touched the water divided. When their toes touched the other side, the waters came back. But in that time, 40,000 warriors and more crossed over into the promised land. Verse 9, he says, be strong. He said, haven't I commanded you? This is a word for somebody. You're not sure how you're going to do what God's called you to do. But he says here in verse 9, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. He says, do not be afraid or dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever. Wherever you go. The Lord has spoken whatever you want to do. And you know that it's his will. The Lord is saying, I'll go with you. I'll be with you. I'll do what you want me to do for you. Hallelujah. My eyes keep resting upon Cody and his beautiful wife. And the Lord is saying, you are called, son. You are called, daughter, to do great things for the kingdom of God. This is a training place. And pastor, I'm not telling him to leave. I'm not telling you to leave this place. But God is calling you to a place of blessings. And you will see miracles, signs and wonders even through you, honey. The Lord said he's going to work signs and wonders and miracles through you. The seed is in you. And the Lord says, I'm going to pull it forth out of you. Hallelujah. And this is a season that you're entering into. Hallelujah. You married the right one. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So on the other side, I got to keep moving or we'll be here all night. Oh, we got time. 5 minutes. On the other side, what's on the other side? I want to really, I'm going to just talk about that. Really, let's look at the promises of God. For us as believers, on the other side, we believe that Mama Dorn, she went to the other side. She went to heaven. She crossed over. And what a reunion, what a reunion. Of all the people's lives that she touched. I think I shared this before, but from the age of 5 to the age of 80, you meet as a whole 2 to 3 people every day. At the time you're 80, if all those people that you've been around and met would come to a stadium, it would be 60 to 80,000 people that would fill this stadium. And you would have met every one of them. And each one was an opportunity for you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we think of that, it bogs down our mind. It's too great for us to understand. But Mama Dorn's rejoicing with that crowd tonight, hallelujah. But in the presence of the Lord. But on the other side, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. But what about the blessings now, here tonight, for you? What are the blessings for us? And we talk about what was there for the children of Israel. And I have Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. I'll give you time to put that up there, Sonny, if you'd like. Earlier I read that God was giving them cities that reached to heaven. But he said, I'm going to give you. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. Hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. And when you have eaten and are full, in verse 12, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. But when the Lord, I saw these large and beautiful cities, it made me think of a place of corporate worship. And corporate teaching. And it's a place that we are tonight in a large city but walled cities which they had nothing to do with God. They did not build it. They did not lay a hand on it to build it. Houses full of all good things which you did not fill. It talks about family and provision for the family. Water, wells producing water. You didn't dig. You didn't have to work hard to dig. We know that Jesus is well of water, a water of life. Hallelujah. And the vineyards which you did not plant, the oil from the vineyards, the oil, olive trees. The olive trees are oil. The Holy Spirit is a symbol of the oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the vineyards is the wine, the new wine that was given to them because they obeyed the word of God and entered into the land. Hallelujah. But when you are eaten and full, then beware lest you forget. And I wonder if it's that way in the United States of America. We have eaten and we are full, but we have forgotten who got us, who brought us to the place of blessings in this land. And if we don't repent and turn, we will pay the price and soon find ourselves back in bondage. But glory to God, there's a group of people here in many churches and around the world in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who do not believe and not going to give up on the promises of God, but are going to press on and press into the good things, walk in obedience to the word, be loyal to the Lord, and enter into the things which God has called them to enter into. Hallelujah. You are one of those tonight. God is calling you to move forward. Don't let the circumstances stop you. It's only the devil that stops us. The circumstances are a place for God to work a miracle. For us to really see the power of God. For God to open up himself and make himself real to us. Hallelujah. You may say, I don't know how. I don't know how to enter in to the best that God has for me. What did you learn in the wilderness? Were you rebellious to the discipline of God? Always wanting to go back to your old life? Or step by step by step you broke off the old nature, the old way of thinking and speaking and the attitude and the actions, the addictions, the habits? Well, step by step you broke those off and now you can hear God's word, you can move freely. Or were you rebellious like the children of Israel in the wilderness? That first generation, we know the story. I don't have to tell you the story. They didn't make it because they were rebellious. They didn't believe that God could do what he said he could do. Are we like them today? Oh, if I was back in my old life. You can never really enjoy what's on the other side until you execute those things in your life that are contrary to God's word. Doesn't happen overnight, but it doesn't need to take 40 years. Because the grace and mercy of God are here for us so that we can move into the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So that we can enter in to what God has prepared. This was something God was giving the children of Israel. Not because they were righteous. We're not receiving the blessings of God because we are righteous. We're receiving the blessings of God because somebody went before us. Hallelujah. Hung on that cross. Gave his life. But he's not in the grave. He is risen. Hallelujah. He's alive tonight. Hallelujah. And he's going to show himself real to the world real soon. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. That we're going to see that God will be honored. Today, because of the cross, and I'll finish with this. Because of the blood that was shed, the redemption that was taken in our place, the resurrection. We've been given mercy and grace and God's unconditional love, the power of the Holy Spirit. And his unconditional love, when it's operating in our life and the power of the Holy Spirit is connected to the throne. Listen to me. This gives us freedom to obtain the life God's planned for us. Freedom from sin and guilt, number one. To become leaders in the kingdom of God because of his mercy and grace and the Holy Spirit, the intellect that he gives us. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He makes us smart. You say, I've only had 8th grade education. I never went to college, just high school. You're smart because of the Holy Spirit's in you, and he teaches you, and he trains you, and he gives you what is needed to become a leader in the kingdom of God. Amen. Number three, you become soul winners, teachers, pastors, lay members. You become soul winners because of God's mercy and grace. Number four, you get to have a family. We have a family here tonight, but you get to have a spouse, children. You get to enjoy all the good things that God has prepared here in this nation and nations of the world. We get to be blessed, number five, with health and finances. This is the blessing of God. He's opened it up to us. What has God prepared for you? And the question I have is, where are you living? Where are you living? In Egypt? In bondage? Are you living in the wilderness? You're happy to live in the wilderness because you saw all the miracles there? Is that where God wants you, in the wilderness? You know, they kind of got happy going around that Mount Sinai for 40 years because they got content. I don't know if they were happy, but they got content in that. They complained a lot, kind of like Americans do, like the church does. But they thought they were okay because there was a miracle of manna every day. There was a miracle of water every day. They saw the glory of God, their cloud that covered them by night, the fire cloud by day, the fire by night. Hallelujah. And they were in God's presence every day. Listen to me. Every day they were in God's presence. But the wilderness was not where God wanted them. And see, we get content sometimes coming to church, hearing the message, giving our tithes, worshiping, saying hi to five people, and out the door we go. And then we come back next Sunday, we do the same thing, and we say, oh wow, I did my part. Hallelujah. I helped support pastor and give an offering. And I put offering in, and we feel content. The enemy, you know, is that where God wants you? Is that what God wants from your life? We become content with the miracles, but God is saying over here, if you'll only cross over, I have so much more for you. And see, that's where the church is today. The church of America is content, but they're not where God wants them. We're not where God wants us. He wants us to be on fire. He wants us defeating the giants that are rising up and saying, it's okay to live this and do this and say this. See, in the promised land, there's giants. But God is well able. Didn't Joshua and Caleb said, but God is well able. We will defeat them. They will become like nothing in the presence of our God. Don't become content doing what you've done all your life. If you're not crossing over into something new, then maybe you're not where God wants you. Where are you living? Where does God want you to live? Have you heard his voice? Where does God want you to live? But the Jordan's at flood stage. Pastor, don't you know? It's impossible to cross over. I can't do the things God wants me to do because there's a flood. And I will drown. But what if it's harvest time? What are you going to do? Just let the crops rot in the ground? See, God is saying for us to act. He's speaking to us, the church. Act. Because there's something more for you that I have prepared, that he has prepared. Not because you're so good. Not because you can play drums good and the bongo and all that stuff. It's not because you're so good. You are good. But it's because of a promise made to your father that you're in this place tonight, to you and to your wife. The Lord says there's so much more prepared that you're going to walk in the days to come. There's somebody that's kind of disappointed you guys, but you know what? God's got a hold of him. There's going to be a transformation because the seed is within. Hallelujah. But you're here because the daddy and mommy prayed for you. They were faithful to the work of God. Hallelujah. You're here and God's going to bless you through that anointing passed down to you. Hallelujah. You believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Without a doubt.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sister Kay, it's the same for you. The anointing of the Lord. You are here today because of a man and a woman who stood and prayed. And Sonny, Pastor Sonny, you guys are blessed tonight because of people that were faithful. But he says you are also faithful. And because of that, you will operate and walk in the gifting that I have called you to operate in. There's new day coming, Pastor Sonny, of God's glory being released upon your family, on your home and business. The day of glory, God's releasing his glory and anointing upon you guys. And those things which have been difficult 2 days ago will now be removed, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You're hearing this. This is God's word for you. It's like a new door is opening. I see doors and gates all the time, but a new door is opening, the Lord says, for you to walk through. And my blessing will be upon you because of a man and woman who prayed and stood faithful. And the blessing was passed on to you. And now you get to enjoy it because you have been faithful, the Lord says. You will enjoy the best that I have prepared for you. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. This young man over here, you don't even know why you're here for sure, but you know, God's got his hand all over you. I saw it the minute you walked in. You're not sure what that's about, but the Lord says, if you will get hungry for me, can you hear me? If you really get hungry for me, you're going to find everything that you need in life. He's going to fulfill those dreams you had of being something great for the Lord, for the kingdom of God. And all those things and things people have said and people have done to you, they're going to become a memory. They're not going to be there in front of you. You're going to be able to walk with strength and new authority. You take this word, you write it in your heart, say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. It's possible because of the power of God. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Hallelujah. A breakthrough. You know, you stood and gave your testimony a couple of weeks ago. And now I see the Shekinah glory of God visiting you guys in your home and in the ministry God has called you into. See, you haven't even really stepped into the fullness of it yet. It's like the best is yet to come. Because of what God has done and because he has spared your life, he says, I'm preparing you now for the new things. Hallelujah. There's a road, a path that I see that has... It's not heaven, but it's like gold. And you're going to get to walk on that. You're going to get to travel on that. Hallelujah. And the blessings of God are going to be with you. Hallelujah. Just receive that. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, receive that. Your marriage is going to become stronger. Take hold of her hand. Hallelujah. The marriage and the bond between the two of you is going to become stronger than it has ever been before. Enemy has come in and tried to bring division and thoughts that shouldn't be there. But the Lord says, today, hallelujah, today, right now, I'm cementing you guys together so that you will be inseparable in the days to come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Not that anything's been bad going on, okay? Just to make that clear for everybody. They weren't fighting when they came in here. Okay. Hallelujah. That's like, what does the Lord say to you, sister? It's like I hear this voice and the blowing of a trumpet. He said, now you can move. So whatever is held back, whatever has been holding back, anything that has brought fear or doubt or even guilt or shame, the Lord is cutting it off tonight for the two of you, because the Lord says he has blown the trumpet, and that's a sign of release and a command to go forward. Hallelujah. You will get to enjoy also the very best blessings that God has for you in the days to come. And prayers that you have prayed are going to be answered. Siblings, they're being answered tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So be blessed in that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Young man, that's the beginning. I see you walking, and it was like downhill, and you say, wow, it's finally getting easier, you know. And then all of a sudden, I saw the hill going back up again. But the Lord says, I'll give you the strength to go up, and I'll let you coast down. I'll give you the strength to go up. And what is he doing? He's discipling you and bringing you to a place where when the path levels out, that you'll know without a doubt that God's plan is being put into place for your life. It's so clear for me right now, and I hope you can understand this. But God is training you and making you strong for what's coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be blessed, because you have people that really love you and have stood with you through the difficult times. They're going to be rejoicing when you get to walk in the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't know how much joy that you bring today to some people that have stood in the gap for you when it looked impossible. But doesn't the Lord say, I'm the God of the impossibles. I'm the creator. There's something being created right now for this couple. Hallelujah. Their hearts are after the Lord, and they've given, and they've stood, and they've prayed, and now the Lord says, I'm creating the new things that you need to go to the next mile. See, they're people that go with the next mile. God has chosen them and blessed them so they can take people the next mile. But now the Lord says, I'm creating the new things so you can go that extra mile yet. Hallelujah. The angels in heaven are rejoicing tonight because of you guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a sound and a song that they're singing. It's kind of like, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And we know the Lord is faithful to you, but you have been faithful to him. So God's releasing his blessing on your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know where to go from here. But I think this lady needs a word from right straight from the throne of God for you. Hallelujah. He's saying that hard thing you went through about a couple of months ago. A little bit difficult for your life. But now he's lifting that burden off of you. Kind of like a whole, 100 pounds on your shoulders, and now the Lord's lifting that off of you. He's going to bring in the Shekinah glory from the throne and touch your life in a way that you've desired him to touch. He touched Paul's life and completely changed his life with that one bolt of Shekinah glory. He said, there's things that have stood in your way that he's going to remove that quick, boom, just like that. And you're going to be so free to do what God has called you to do. It's a great big door. God's opening. Just enjoy it. Hallelujah. The blessing of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, where'd Steve go? I saw a vision of you, Steve. And you were dressed in this robe. I think your name's Stephen. You were dressed in this robe, but over the outside of the robe, I saw a holster, and it had guns in both sides. This is a crazy vision, but I saw that. And the Lord told me to tell you to loosen the guns, loosen the holster. He He said, the robe of righteousness that I've covered you with will be more than enough to do the work I've called you to do. And he's going to just flow through you. Hallelujah. Just that your voice will send the demons to flee. You don't need to pull the gun on him. That's what I feel like the Lord's saying. Just your voice, the covering that he's going to put over you and has put over you and over your wife, Connie. That covering is the thing that will cause the enemy to flee. Hallelujah. And it's going to be so wonderful. Hallelujah. The power of God released for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Pastor, I don't know where to quit. Is it snowing yet? I better quit, huh? It's snowing. Hallelujah. No. It's flowing. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. It's this man the Lord keeps pointing out. Both barrels at you, brother. No. If I see this building, it's in the state of a frame right now. There's no siding, no inside, outside walls. But the Lord says, I've called you. This is a spiritual thing now. I know you can do this physically, but that's why I've seen it that way. But the Lord says, now you will go and complete the work what I've called you to do. It's like it stood in a frame for many, many years. But now the Lord says, put the hands on it and finish the work. Whatever that means, I don't know. But the Lord says, I have given you the authority. I've given you the resources that you can finish the project. Hallelujah. And you have lots of help. There's more things that are coming also. The Lord says, when it's done, I will fill it with the good things I've promised you. And it's like he's restoring some things back. You're blessed. We know that. Everybody here knows that you're blessed. They know that you're working in the work of the Lord. We know all of that, but there's something new that God wants to bring into the midst of this project. Hallelujah. To bring a blessing and release a blessing on you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The hand of God, like the fingers on that violin, the hand of God is slowly restoring everything. People have spoken harsh words and harmful words to you and your wife in the past, and they've hurt very deeply. But the Lord says, I've heard them all, and I'm covering you today, son, and building a shield around you so these words will not hurt you anymore. Because you have been gifted by me and by the Holy Spirit, says the Lord, to bring my presence into every place that you go. There's an anointing that you carry, the Lord says, that I have given you for people who don't know me. So your mission work is about to begin in a new way, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless him. Anoint him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I get started. I don't know where to stop, but I'll stop when the Holy Spirit says stop. But spam. Ooh. And I felt a pain all of a sudden go through my whole body. And you've carried that for your children. But tonight the Lord is saying to lay it down. You don't have to carry that pain. Because see, he's watching over them. And you've carried a burden that has kept you kind of quiet and secluded. And that's not scolding. God's not scolding. He said, just release it to me. Because I'm already working where you don't see. I think that song that we sang tonight, even when we're sleeping, he's working. Even when we don't know what's happening, he's working the miracle. So he has heard your prayer, and he's seen the compassion that you have for people, not only your children, but for many, many people. But he said, I've already seen it. Hallelujah. For you guys, he says, build the fence. That's all I get so far. Maybe I'll give you some more. I worked on the farm. I know it's hard to build a fence, especially if you're digging the holes by hand. But there's a reason. The Lord says, the reason I'm asking you to build a fence, because he's going to bless you with things that you will keep within your realm. You see? And if there's no fence, they'll just leave and go. So he's going to bring in things that need to be corralled, but they need to stay with you because it's your blessing. It's for you guys. That's good. That's what I get. Yeah. So it's time to build a fence, right? Don't build walls. Let the walls come down. Hallelujah. Wow. The Word of God, and the Word of God is hope. It gives me hope. I hope I've sparked a little bit of excitement in you guys tonight through this Word. You can cross over when it looks impossible, even if there's a flood stage, but it's harvest time, church. We cannot sit in the, stay in the wilderness any longer. We have to move on across. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, the Lord said, I'm putting the guns in your hands, son. He took them away from Steve, and he's putting them into your hands. Be careful, guys. Hallelujah. That was not from my mouth. I'm sorry. That was, it came out of my mouth, but it was not from my spirit. From the Holy Spirit, the Lord says, I've given you the authority, my son and my daughter, to destroy the enemy. He's given you authority to stand against the enemy, and regardless of what it looks like, you have the authority. Hallelujah. So he says, don't back up an inch. Just make sure the gun's loaded. Hallelujah. Don't be shooting any blanks, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the valleys and over the hills, and all of a sudden it's a mountaintop. And you've experienced the hills and the valleys. But now it's time for some mountaintop experiences. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to release an anointing upon you guys because, not because you've walked through the fire, not because of the things that have happened in your life, but because you've come to the place where you've said, Lord, I want to obey you, do whatever you want me to do. I want to move forward in the call that's on my life, on our lives, regardless of the past, you see, and God is honoring that tonight. And he's going to release that anointing and that blessing for you. The mountaintop experience. Hallelujah. I love it. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor, come. We're here to pray. When anybody wants prayer.
Amen. That's great. You know, when you see a roadblock in your way, like an overflowing of a river, God takes the roadblock and makes it your provision and your weapon, because in the harvest, you need water. Amen. So,